Hello everyone and welcome back to a unscheduled, well it is kind of scheduled, episode of PSC, but it's one in the middle of the normal fortnightly ones, because when Jim was on before, Jim Fowle, hello Jim.
Hello Ted, hello Joe.
we thought we would get you back. We would pass around some of the QWERTY keyboarded device, the next paper units and all sorts of other stuff between us, and get you back to have a more in-depth view of some of those quirky devices. So here we are doing that. It's show 879. It's the 12th of January, and I'm here with Joe as always. Hello Joe, you doing all right?
Yeah, not too bad. I was just saying about I'm hurting a little bit after trying to roller skate, which I shouldn't be doing
at
my age. But other than that, I'm very good, thanks.
And Jim, you got a bad back.
I got a bad back because I've been working on a roof, doing some guttering. Not my usual forte, and that's actually showing.
Dear. So we'll try and ease the pain of that for you by talking about some very interesting stuff on the phone show chat today. Our website is phonesshowchat.uk with two S's in the middle, and tedsalmon.com is where you'll find all the stuff that we do online in the MeWe groups and on the audio podcasts and all of that. And if you get lost, you can always find it all at Podhub UK as well. A bit of feedback from the last show. Not a long time since the last show, but we've got one. Joe, do you want to take this one?
Yes, Sharang Bedaskonga. I hope I didn't demolish his name there. Sorry if I did. Gave us some feedback on Android gaming. He said he recently purchased a Google Play Pass yearly subscription for about £6 in India after Google Rewards credit discount. Love that. I'm happy, very happy with the selection of games compared to Apple Arcade games, which I also have. Apple has some obscure games and some decent games. Android seems to have a lot of PC games ported and bundled into the Play Pass bundle. So he says it's a much better deal in his opinion. And he's got a really nice image here of where it's paired up to a controller and you've got a legit handheld gaming system. It looks fantastic. That's a PlayStation 5 controller, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it looks great.
Cool.
It does look pretty good. I've got to admit, I'm not much of a gamer these days, so I don't really play a lot of games on my phone, but that does look pretty cool.
I'm just trying to find on my phone, as we're talking, what a Play Pass yearly subscription is ordinarily, or in the UK, and I'm not finding it very readily. They obviously don't want to sell it to me.
No.
So I've no idea how much that is. But yeah, well done, Sharang. Looks cool. Keep it up. Now, before we launch into Jim's guest gala, I just want a quick mention, because so many people are writing down or typing the next paper devices kind of round the wrong way and not as they should be. And I thought to myself, I'd just go and have a look at that. And I'd like to call out TCL on their naming conventions, because they're just crap. They can't decide whether to put the word next paper before the model name or after the model name. Last year, they decided that the TCL 50 Pro next paper, the next paper was coming after it. And then this year they've made it next paper 60 Ultra, so it's going off before it. Next year it looks like it's going to be going before it as well. Your tablet, Jim, seems to have gone before it as well. So
yeah,
it's all very confusing, and I call them out. So let's have some consistency. Do you agree?
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, I mean, obviously, if anyone can see the show notes, they know I've got it all wrong.
It's not your fault, Jim. It's their fault.
Talking of which,
I never get the names right.
Talking of which, this is your department now, guest gala, so use the time as you like. Joe and I will chip in with what we've been doing as well as you go, but lead us through the maze of all these really interesting devices that seem to be kind of doing the rounds at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I'd almost forgotten about the Titan 2. Because that's out on a field trip, isn't it? So, yeah, I mean, I did have that for a couple of weeks before sending it off on a field trip so I could spend more time with the next paper 50 Pro, is it? Next week, 50 Pro next week. Anyway, yeah, so I'd say also I could do that. But I think the main problem with the Titan 2 will be that it's too big. You know, at the end of the day, it is a large chunk.
It's a chunky boy, definitely.
You know, at the moment, I'm using an Apple iPhone 15 and a Samsung Galaxy S23 and a TCL 50 Pro next paper. I've just changed the order again for the sheer hell of it. But on the QWERTY front, I'm still obsessed by the QWERTY phone. So I have reserved a Clicks communicator as soon as I saw the ad pop up on my phone or the news report or whatever it was. I was in there with my credit card going, hey, take my money. So, yes, I've got a Clicks communicator reserved. I'm still waiting on a Pebble Time 2 and a lovely remote working device called the Welder mechanical keyboard that Ted posted, and I couldn't resist that either. So, you know, I was told by my wife earlier that I can't spend any more money. So
tell
that is enough.
Before we go meandering off into the main data of what we're going to talk about, tell us a little bit about the Welder folding mechanical keyboard.
Well, it's exactly what it says. It's like a mechanical keyboard, like a Keychron. I can't remember, or a Cherry. They made mechanical keyboards, didn't they, back in the distant memory of my past.
Yeah.
But this one is a mechanical keyboard, so the proper clacky keys, but with a smart screen built in. So it's like, it looks like a little clamshell laptop again, kind of reminiscent of the Nextop 360 that I've got, but with a better keyboard, hopefully. So if it's a mechanical keyboard, it should be a better keyboard. And if anyone did look at my picture that I posted into the PSC group of my current setup, whereas I've not really been sitting in the little office room here with the PC. I've been sitting downstairs with the Nextop in a stand connected to a Keychron mechanical keyboard via Bluetooth with a proper mouse. And I've been just using that for all my computing tasks recently. So it did make me wonder why I bought a PC. But now I know why, because I'm on PSC and I need Teams.
but this Welder, what can you get onto the screen and how can you get it onto the screen? Because presumably the device itself is not a computing device.
I think it's like the... what I just called it, didn't I? The Nextop. I think it's the Nextop. You plug your device into it and it provides the screen and keyboard for your device. So if you've got a Samsung with DeX or a Motorola with Ready4, right? I mean, I think some of the Pixels have desktop mode in them now, but it's a bit limited, if I remember rightly. It might not be anymore, but it's kind of like an extension screen for your... device if it supports a desktop mode, or even mirroring I suppose would work on it. But I carry on my obsession with these things and remote working and stuff like that, because that's what I used to do the most when I was working, was work remotely, you know. That's why I love the Surface Duos and the Samsung Galaxy Fold 6 that I've got here as well. You know, you can pop it in a stand, little BT keyboard on a train, you know, that was all great stuff. I lapped that up, and I'm still obsessed by the keyboard stuff.
I love the look of the Welder, I have to admit. I think it looks really nice. It's on a Kickstarter, so you can get it for $359, apparently.
I did it ages ago.
Did you?
I might have got it cheaper than that. I can't remember now off the top of my head. But
very, very good.
180 degrees foldable design as well. Goes right back.
Yeah, cool. Anyway, sorry, we got distracted. So you were saying, yes, I did see the picture of your little setup with your phone and your laptop or lap dock and your speaker and all the rest of it, keyboard and mouse. It looks really neat.
Funnily enough, that's not a speaker behind it. It doesn't look like a speaker. I didn't think about it. That's a chair.
Oh, yeah, so it is.
It's a chair with a cover on it. It's not a speaker, though, doesn't it?
Right, okay.
Just quickly on the communicator, did you get the one with the extra two backs, or did you get just the device?
I went for the one with the two backs. On it, so I thought I'd get the extra two backs. But I'm going to be boring, though. I want a black one. I don't really... do bright coloured phones. Like if you looked at the ones I've got round me, because I've got them all out because we're on PSC, they're all black in black cases.
I quite like the kind of burgundy colour back that you can get for it. That's a nice colour. A wine colour or whatever it's called.
And the leather look one looks good as well.
Yeah, the leather look one interests me. I do like that. I've got on the Fold 6, I've got one of the skins on it, you know, from the leather effect skin on the back of it. So yeah, I do like that as well.
But the Titan 2 is much bigger, it has to be said. Now, at the moment, it's on its way to Aidan Bell via Joe. Joe, you haven't had much time to play with it yet, have you?
No, I really should just send it to Aidan because it's not fair. I really want to play with it, and it's on my agenda. But, yeah, it's not fair. I better send it.
You can have it back. I'm not in a rush to get it back at the moment.
Are you sure, Jim? I've had it for ages.
Yeah, you can have it. Once Aidan's had a play, you can have it back again. I mean, the one thing I'd say about it, the thing that gets me is that the modifier keys are in the wrong place, and I can't seem to get over that.
Yeah.
Right, you know, that they're at the top and not at the bottom, whereas the clicks, who's got it in the proper place.
They do recognize.
Jim, did you see? There's an elite version coming.
Of what? Sorry,
of the Titan 2.
An elite version? Yeah, armoured?
If you jump to the MeWe group as we're talking, if you're able to, I just posted the page that Joe found earlier at the top of the PSC group, so you'll be able to see it. Now that looks to me as though they've taken the bulky Titan 2, and they said, "Hang on a minute, we want one that's going to be neat and svelte like the Clicks communicator." And they kind of made it less industrial looking, and it looks like it's probably smaller and just kind of differently made. And it looks very much like a Clicks communicator, doesn't it? Can you say that?
Looking at the picture in the MeWe group, it's got the modifiers in the right place at the bottom as well.
So it has.
I mean, I'm going to try and not type click on that link and type my email address into that box. I'm going to try not to, because I might not survive the night.
That's just a photograph. But I'm sure that people will easily be able to find actually where to do that.
Yeah, I know.
But it's quite a nice looking device, I think. And I think that in some ways, I did have the TCL, the Titan 2 here for a while. Probably between the three of us, I probably spent the longest with it, actually. But as I was saying, I think I said on the last time you were on, Jim, I soon got fed up with it because it's just a QWERTY keyboard, physical keys, 2026. That ship has sailed.
Oh, not for me. That looks just the right size to slip into a pocket. Uh-huh. That's something you can't do with the Titan. So you slip that in your pocket, probably trip over and kill you.
I think that's the downside for it, isn't it? It's just such a bulky thing, sadly. But it is a lovely device, though.
It is. I am impressed by it. But like I say, the Clicks one, as soon as I saw it, I thought, I've got to have that.
I did find it a bit confusing in terms of software, I have to say. You start digging down into the menus and it just like, what? What's going on here? What are they doing? And they've got so much going on in there that you need a handbook to work it all out. I'll put a link in the show notes to Shane Craig's review, because he got one in and he's going to keep it now, and just today he's put up a written review on his site and also a video review, so I'll put a link in the show notes to that. And he concluded that it is a niche tool designed for a very specific user. If you are a content creator, a professional, or a sim swapper looking to separate your work life from your distractions, this phone offers a unique solution. It effectively creates the friction needed to stop doom scrolling while providing a tactile home base for your primary communication. Of course, you'll have to accept some major trade-offs. You're carrying a heavy, thick and wide device, as we were saying, with cameras that feel like an afterthought and software that requires immediate third-party help to function correctly. There, I've told you. You lose the sleekness of a modern flagship, but you gain a focused utility that a standard glass slab just does not offer. It's a rugged, capable alternative that is available right now. If you're willing to spend the time fixing the software quirks and adjusting to the bulk, this phone could be the productivity tool that you did not know you needed. So thank you for that, Shane. And do have a look at that, listeners.
Yeah, I feel like the Clicks Communicate could fix a lot of them issues, though.
Yeah.
Mainly just because it's smaller. It's not as not as chunky as the Titan 2.
Or the Titan 2 Elite.
Yeah. Well, yes. They could be about the same size, couldn't they, looking at the picture?
Yeah, I reckon
they could be about the same size.
Yeah. Unless it's some, I don't know, perhaps it's an artist render or something, although it is on their website, to be fair. I understood that the operator keys being above the keyboard was something to do with BlackBerry patents, but if they are moving them, then perhaps they paid for to get the patent and use it then.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I always thought that as well, that it was a patent problem, and that's why no one did the keyboard the same. And I've got to admit, I used a BlackBerry at work for absolutely years when they had the really old ones that it wasn't really black, it was blue, the first one I had.
Yeah.
But, and it was the real old LCD one. So,
but it's funny say that, because it does say the tagline, New Year, New QWERTY. As if they're making a point that it's moved around slightly.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Right, anyway, let's get jump. I completely sidetracked everything. Let's jump back to your notes, Jim, and you carry on from where you were.
Yeah, so I mentioned last time, didn't I? I'd moved to a Garmin watch. I think that's kind of freed me a bit, I feel, because I always felt I was stuck with the Apple Watch. Because I had an Apple Watch, I was stuck with the iPhone. But having a Garmin watch that will connect to either is kind of giving me a bit more freedom to swap phones around a bit more. Because normally I have the iPhone 15 as my primary phone, but now, for ages now, it's been the second, well, since getting the Garmin watch, it's become my secondary phone. And I mainly keep the iPhone because of family, like my wife's got one, both my kids have got one. So it's just easier to keep tabs on things that are going on with the iPhone. But my primary SIM now has been in the TCL 50 Pro Next Paper, or is it Next Paper Pro 50? No, I don't know. And for the last couple, for the last 2-3 weeks, I've been using that phone exclusively, apart from when I go to work, because I don't really think the Next Paper 50 Pro is tough enough to survive what might happen to it on a roof. So I will admit this time, normally I'd swap to the iPhone, because the iPhone 15 is a bit tougher. But this time I've been using the Galaxy S23. Which is, like I say, because I feel like the shackles have been taken off. I've been using the Galaxy S23 while working. And then when I'm done with that, I'm still working tomorrow, so I'm not taking my SIM out yet. But on Wednesday, when I finish, I'll probably pop my SIM into something else. We'll talk about that later, though. But, yeah, so for the last few weeks, I've been using the Next Paper 50 Pro. And, yeah, I've really liked it. I really have liked it. From my impression, again, my second view of it is that it's still a lot taller than the other phones. And I suddenly had a thought that maybe if they just did a Next Paper device that was the same width but a bit shorter, I think I'd really like that a lot, because it is a bit wider than slightly wider than the iPhone and the Samsung S23, but a lot taller. But, so I thought if they made a shorter one, I'd probably be really into that as well. The thing that keeps drawing me to the Next Paper 50 Pro is the screen, really. It's kind of that lovely matte screen. I'm sure that's the same on the 60 Ultra as well, isn't it, Ted?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's got that matte sheen screen. It just looks totally different. It just looks, to me, it just looks totally wicked, in a way.
I think they all are, and perhaps, Joe, you can comment here, because you've also got my 50 Pro there. I think that the papery feel of the screen is just something unique, totally unique. I think it's even different to Kindle screens. It's silky smooth. It's like no other, really. Kindle screens still feel glassy compared to it, really, although, to be fair, I've not had hands-on with the Scribe model, so that could be different. But, yes, I agree with you, Jim, that the screen screen is gorgeous. I do find that it needs a slightly firmer touch than we're used to for ordinary screens because of those layers across the top of it. But reflections are so diffuse that they just make feel, you know, they make reflections a thing of the past, really. The TCL 60 Ultra that I have here is giant as well. So what you were saying about the big screen, this is even bigger and wider, and it lends itself to be less of a phone and more of a notepad, really. But that's how it is. It's an LCD screen, as we know. Joe, any thoughts on the screen? Have you had a chance to look at it?
Oh, I think it's gorgeous. I mean, without repeating everything you've just said, it is literally really so smooth on the hand. And like on my bus home today, for example, I was playing with the TCL, and the glare I get from the lights normally is horrible. It's quite hideous. But yeah, you lose that. It's lovely. And it does make me quite fancy the tablet as a result, because I can imagine watching things on there. Because that's another thing with tablets, you get the glare quite a lot, don't you? It'd be quite a nice viewing experience, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim?
Yeah, I totally agree. And the one thing with the tablets are, compared to an iPad or one of your latest Samsungs, it is a bit chunky, I've noticed. No, I mean, it hasn't really caused me a problem, the Nexpaper 11 being a bit chunkier, but that's something to think about. It is a bit bigger and heavier than, the more premium. But then again, I suppose the price reflects that, doesn't it, as well? It's not as expensive as an iPad or a Samsung tablet. But, back to the screens. Yeah, so the 50 Pro's got a 6.8-inch LCD matte screen. But the other thing that draws you in is the three screen modes. So you have colour paper mode, ink paper mode, and max ink mode. Available from a kind of mode switch on the side, kind of like, the old mute switch on certain phones, but for switching screen modes. And I found myself using that all the time. So the battery life is, in max ink mode, the battery life is, well, it extends the battery life, basically. So I've been keeping it in max ink mode all the time, and then switching. If I wanted to go on Instagram or something and look at something or look something up, then I'd switch back. So in that kind of switching between modes phase, keeping it in max ink mode most of the time, where it restricts you down to 7 apps, so you only have your key apps that you want access to that run in the background and everything else is shut down, you get a bit more battery life. And I think I got switching between modes when I wanted to do things. I think it made the phone last 5 days. I can't remember the last time I've had a phone last for 5 days. I don't know what you guys think about that.
It's very impressive, and actually it's better than the performance I got out of the 60 Ultra. If you jump down in the show notes, you'll see that I did a test on that, which they are claiming that if you keep it in max ink mode, you should get 9+ days out of it. Depending, of course, on how much you use it. But I tested it with absolutely nothing, no SIM card, Wi-Fi off, just as it is. And it was nowhere near 9 days, but it was more like just about 4 days. I just let it sit there and see what it did. Whereas I think that the 50 Pro, it does better with battery. The 60, they seem to have changed something.
Yeah, because I did the same test as you, but I had left a SIM card in it and it was connected to Wi-Fi, not my main SIM, and I just left it and hardly touched it. And I think it got to 8 days, didn't I say?
Was it 8 days?
Pro.
Yeah, I think
it is. I think the 50 Pro got in max ink mode totally. It got to about 8 days.
For some reason, it's better. Obviously, the screen's a bit smaller, but yeah. I can't imagine that would take up that kind of difference. And actually, while in my test, the screen was off.
Right, okay.
Well, it wasn't off as in power off, but it didn't have anything on it because the cover was over it and it didn't work. So you were jumping between the three modes.
Yeah. I mean, I decided to look at the, if you switch it off, it's the full colour mode and the colour paper mode. And even that was fine for day-to-day stuff. Colour paper mode would give you access to everything, but, just as it would do in its normal LCD mode. But you know, with a reduced set of colours, I'm assuming that would extend battery life. I don't really know because I've not tested it. But, you know, if it's using a muted set of colours, it maybe last a bit longer. I don't know.
You'd hope.
But I didn't really find that I noticed a great deal of difference in using it in that mode. I didn't miss anything, if that makes any sense. So, you know, but I couldn't tell you if it was easier on your eyes. I like the look of it, and it worked okay. It's just the same. You can't switch between just those two modes. You have to pick a mode each time. That's the only one thing I would say on it. But yeah, the screen.
Oh no, Jim. There's a tick button in there that says always do this. So if you
it's only one of them, though, isn't it? But I want to switch between Max Ink mode and Color Paper mode rather than back.
Oh right, okay.
So I was thinking if they could do that, where you switch it off and it's defaults. Maybe you can. I'll have to look. But yeah, it defaults to Color Paper mode, and then you switch it back on, and it goes back to Max Ink mode. But it does have an ink paper mode as well, which is black and white, and allows you access to all your apps as well. So yeah. The three modes are good, but I think overall that, you know, the 50 Pro is so sleek and slim, and it has a great screen, but it doesn't have flagship specs, does it, when you compare it to some of the later phones? But, you know, there was the odd stutter here and there, but I found it didn't really make any difference. It didn't spoil my enjoyment of using the phone. It didn't stop me from doing anything. But also the one I bought off PSC classifieds, obviously, it's got 8 gig of RAM and 512 gig of storage. So it actually had more. It's got more storage in it than this PC had.
But like yours, Ted,
and a micro SD card.
Yeah, and a micro SD card slot. So if I wanted to up that, I could put even more storage in it.
Which the 60 Ultra hasn't. They've taken that away.
Maybe they bring it back for the 70 Pro. Who knows? I don't know.
Well, you know, but what Ultra Tags do take things away. That's what the Ultra Tag is.
Maybe it is, like you said, Ted, just a note-taking device. Yeah. But that interests me as well. But.
Yeah, and I did say to you earlier on that I'll send it over to you and you can see how you get on with it. But
yeah, that would be great. I would be happy to have a go.
Yeah, but I certainly got to a point with it where I took my SIM card out of it. It was great to just scribble on. It became a notebook really. Now the trouble with that is, and I'll jump down to my thing about T-Pen misses, is that the T-Pen I found kept missing strokes, and when you were writing, if you lifted the T-Pen off of the screen, when you put it back down on the screen, it just didn't start properly. It didn't catch up. Now, there was a that boring Betts bloke. He does some videos on these kinds of devices. I'll put a link in the show notes to that. He explained about the fact that there's magnets in the case with the 60 Ultra, and the EMR pens don't play nicely with those magnets. So when I finished doing all my battery tests, I did take it out of the cover and use the pen, and it did kind of improve a bit. It's still far from perfect, though, which is a real shame. It favours the central area, and also seems to work a bit better in landscape for me for some reason. I don't know. And also the pen, you'll find out for yourself, Jim, but the pen that goes into the silo is just tiny, and there's a little button on the side of it which with my big hands I just press all the time. It's really hard to use the little pen without pressing the button, and as soon as you press the button it turns into an eraser, and you can't change that, which is really annoying. So
noticed that I do that on the active pen I've got here as well. After you mentioned it, I thought I am doing that, and it pops up a menu on the tablet. So
comparison to an S Pen on the Ultra phones, what size comparison?
Oh, it's the size of the little one that comes with the Fold 5 case. You know, the case with the pen in the thing on the back. It's that size. It's tiny. It's somewhere between 3 and 4 inches, I'd say, and it's really small, and it would be great for a child's hands, but I just find it too small.
I'd be okay then.
Now this is now this of course is all to do with the 60 Ultra, not the 50 Pro. The 50 Pro officially doesn't have any stylus support. Now I tried to use with the 50 Pro, I tried to use a stylus on it, and with the active stylus as opposed to the T Pen, I found that I could kind of get it to kind of work, but it really wasn't very good. But it's it was interesting to try. So I should be really keen to hear how you get on with it, Jim.
Yeah, since I got into the ink stuff, any notes I take, like when I wrote the notes that I then eventually typed up into the recording notes here, I wrote them all by hand on the TCL NextPaper 11. I actually bought a TCL Active Pen. So I found one on... my mum used to have a catalogue called Freeman's or something like that.
Yeah.
And I thought, where's the cheapest place to get this? And they were selling them for 25 quid on this Freeman's catalogue.
So that's called an active pen. So it's made by TCL and it's called Active Pen.
Active Pen, yeah.
Well, I think that's
TCL
different.
TCL Active Pen.
Well, I think that's different to T-Pen myself. I think that they have confused the whole thing. But I have also got an active pen here, and I've also got a T-Pen, and I've got the pen that comes with the 60 Ultra. And I think that all three of them are different.
Well, probably are, yeah.
But officially, I do know that the 50 Pro is not supposed to work with a stylus. So it's interesting that you've made it happen.
Oh, no, I didn't. I couldn't get the 50 Pro to work with it that well. It would do a bit, but it seemed to not work consistently, so you couldn't write on it.
You were talking about the tablet, were you?
I wrote everything on the tablet itself. Yeah, right. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, the NextPaper 11 rather than the 50 Pro. I couldn't get the 50 Pro quite to work with the pen. It would do, it'd do a bit, but not much. And the other thing is, for some reason, OneNote on the 50 Pro, you could not get it into drawing mode. For some reason, which you have to do if you want to use the pen. You have to click on draw, and you didn't get the option. So,
yeah, and that goes back to them saying, well, we never said you could use a pen on it.
Yeah. But one thing that the 50 Pro has been great for, and I've used a lot, is reading Kindle books. I normally turn up in town, wait for my wife while she's having her nails done or something, and I'll sit in Costa Coffee or wherever, whatever coffee shop, and I'll sit there reading a book. But I've been doing it on the TCL 50 Pro, and it's great for that. And I have seen reports that it's not great for that outside by Kit Betts Masters that you mentioned earlier. I think he had the 60 Ultra outside, and he said, you can't really read on this outside, you can if you hold it at an angle.
But
I've not tried that because I tend to do all my reading inside, and the screen was flawless for that, and the big screen was just wicked for it. I sound like one of my children. I keep saying wicked and I don't know why.
It's not quite as good as a Kindle in that respect, because when I was watching that my video myself, I thought to myself, if you've got a proper Kindle, the more light you've got outside, the better it becomes. And so e-ink is certainly different to the NextPaper.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, you're going to talk about video. Video out capability and the USB.
You got me there. Yeah, the brain's not working properly, obviously. But the one thing I did notice, bearing in mind that, on both the tablet and the 50 Pro, one of the tablet has a PC mode. Oh, I didn't realise that at first, but I found on the NextPaper 11 a PC mode, and it does put the tablet itself into a desktop mode. But you can't push that out. I certainly couldn't push it out to the next dock that I was testing it with. So it just seemed a little strange to me that you could put it in such a, it's an 11 inch, isn't it? So you could use it as is with a keyboard, but you can't actually push that screen out to another display.
Can't you mirror it?
The 50 Pro had no video out, which is, I find, a bit limiting these days. But then again, a lot of them don't have it, do they, I suppose?
Can you not mirror it?
No, it just didn't do anything. There was no options. There was no way to tell it even to mirror.
Oh, right.
You know, neither of them did. I will admit, I probably failed there because I only used a USB-C to see into the next dock, and I probably should have tried a USB-C to HDMI. I do have a cable, a USB-C to HDMI to cable, so I must give that a go. I haven't got around to that
yet. Bet it doesn't work, but I'd be really surprised if baseline Android didn't let you mirror it out to something else. I've got a Lenovo tablet here, and I thought it was fairly dumb, but actually, because it's got no HDMI out. But actually, when I sent the... what I was doing, it also has a PC mode, and when I sent what I was doing, it's straight to the screen wirelessly, so it's worth double checking.
Oh, so you mean Miracast, the Miracast type stuff?
Yeah, you just kind of send or cast or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I'll have to have a go at that. I did do that. We've got a TV in the kitchen, and I did at first push the output from the Fold 6 to the TV, but it might be the TV because it's an old, a very old TV. But the delay was so much I couldn't use it. I couldn't move the mouse.
Yeah.
But, you know, so it was, it just didn't work well enough.
No. Fair enough, yeah. But yeah, it's worth trying those kind of things. Yeah, if it's got no HDMI out at all, it won't work with the NextDock 360, unless you've got a NextDock wireless version, which I guess you haven't.
No, I've got the wired one. I'll have to maybe invest again. But like I say, I might be murdered if I do that at the moment. Oh, hold on for a little while. The other thing I thought about the TCL is between the tablet and the phone, there's not, I suppose I'm used to Apple's integration in that if I was out with the iPad, it would automatically use the iPhone as a hotspot, didn't really need to set anything up, it was already there. But with obviously the TCL tablet to the 50 Pro, I had to go in and manually set it up. But like I said in the notes, that's really a first world problem, isn't it? Having to go in and click on something. It's not really going to kill you to do that, is it?
Yeah. At least it works.
But, you know, I just noticed that. I mean, I suppose you do get used to it, don't you? The ease of use. And then it's
definitely.
Not there. But, and the other thing is that the case for the Next Paper 11, the pen loop, like, it's no good. You put the pen in it, and then I take the case out of my bag, and the pen's not there. And I think, did I lose that in the shop, or is it in the bag? And luckily, it's been in the bag because it just keeps falling out of the pen loop.
Is this a case that comes with it?
Hey?
This case that comes with it?
Yeah. I got it. I mean, I bought the Next Paper 11 off the forum as well, off PSC Classifieds. I didn't get the pen with it. So I bought the pen separately, but the case had the pen loop on it, but it's just a little bit too big for the pen.
What they need is a magnet, of course.
Yes. And like I said, I kept pressing the button, like you mentioned, Ted, as well, and popping up a menu while I was trying to write, until I made myself hold the pen the other way around, so I couldn't do that.
So that whole Next Paper 11 experience doesn't match up particularly well with your e-ink experience?
No, the screens definitely are not, they don't feel the same when you write on them. If you use a stylus on something else, then the Next Paper screens, like you said earlier, are better. They feel more like paper than a normal screen does. But the writing experience on the Next Paper 11 didn't really compete with another tablet I've got, the Books Note Air 4C, which is a full e-ink device.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that really is really good to write on. You know, it's got a proper full e-ink display, and which is for writing on is better than writing on an iPad as well, because an iPad is just like writing on glass, unless you get one of those funny screen protectors that people have, like paper white or something, I can't remember. But yeah, but even though that was the case, I found that writing on the Next Paper 11 didn't really, you know, I got on fine with it. There was a slight delay in what I was writing appearing, but like probably only microseconds. So I was writing and then it'd catch up behind me, but even that because it wasn't slow enough to be annoying, you don't really notice it. So like I said in the notes, it was absolutely fine. And if I had to, I could use that as my only tablet. You know, it didn't bother me. Wasn't an issue at all. I wrote all the notes that I wanted to include in this show on that tablet first, sitting wherever I was sitting. Like, you know, so it is actually perfectly fine as a note-taking device, you know.
How's the speakers on it?
I don't really... But if I'm out and about or writing, so I tend to use them more for the kind of... that kind of task. I don't tend... Because being retired now, as I am, or semi-retired, because I keep helping out with roofs, I find that because I'm at home, I don't really watch stuff on a tablet anymore. When I was travelling for work, I used to do it all the time.
Mm.
But now that I'm at home more, I tend to watch YouTube and things like that on the TV. Because we've got a Samsung TV downstairs, so I watch YouTube on that. One of the things I forgot to put in the notes was we had to buy new ovens. So my wife chose the Samsung ones, and I didn't really dissuade her from that. And they support smart things. So now when the food's ready, because I've connected them to the Wi-Fi, a little thing pops up on the TV to say your food is ready. It's absolutely excellent, though. Yeah, she finds it irritating, though. So not really bothered by that, but I just find it amusing, like that it pop up that your food's ready. But yeah, so I don't really consume video on a tablet a great deal. I mean, I have played the odd YouTube video on it, and it's not been a problem, if you know what I mean. But I can't really remember what the speakers are like, because I think when I've done that, I've been sitting in a coffee shop, so I've had headphones connected to it.
Yeah,
of course, you know what I mean? Because I don't like to kind of bug other people with what I'm listening to. Mm. I know there's a lot of people out there that don't seem to worry about that these days, but not me.
Yes,
so I couldn't tell you what the speakers are like at this point in time. But I'll have a go with them and see what they're like and report back on the forum.
Yeah. And you're going to be lending your 50 Pro to someone in the group, aren't you?
I am. Paul Waggett.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to borrow... Paul Waggett?
Yep.
He's going to borrow the...
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, no, he did borrow my books. I forgot what it's called. Was it called?
Oh, the Palmer.
No, it weren't the Palmer, was it? It was the Big Me High Break, wasn't it?
Oh, we're going to come to that in a second, yeah.
Yeah, you did borrow the Big Me High Break Pro, and that will come soon. But then he did mention that he was interested in the TCL Next Paper devices, so I said, oh, well, you can borrow that as well, and I'll put my SIM into something else. Now, I was going to put my SIM back in the Fold 6, but I've changed my mind. So I'm going to charge up the minimal phone and give it another shot.
Oh, right.
That's a new device. Okay. Maybe they've updated it. It's been forlornly sitting on the shelf there for a while now.
Yeah.
So I've decided not to do that. I'll boot up the minimal phone, put my SIM in, and we'll give that another go.
Cool. Yeah. We'd be interested to hear how you get on with that as a main phone, for sure. But yeah, let's leap down to Paul Waggett on the Big Me High Break Pro, because it's another device that we wanted to cover on the show today, one which you loaned to me as well. And I found it so frustrating because of all the Chinese stuff. But that's something that you can get round if you persevere, and it's, you know, ugh. Anyway, Paul Waggett reports back. Recently, Jim was kind enough to loan me the device to play with, as I had an interest in it. He found that it's not as substantial as he expected. Lighter materials, reminiscent of some early smartphones, and light bleed around the device. While ghosting was expected, I may have over-expected how little there would be. I will say that using the Big Me 5.0 launcher was an improvement over the 4.0 default. However, it didn't cope with Google Sheets very well for me. Screen lag, I knew there would be some, but it still could be annoying at times. I think I coped with it well, but it did catch it caught me out, I should say. A weird glitch: I set the phone up to have one app page only, which used apps and folders. However, a couple of times I went back to the phone in the morning and one folder had disappeared and the individual apps were on a separate second page. So confused a bit by that one. On one occasion, two of the apps were there at all unless you, sorry, weren't there at all unless you searched for them. I ended up having to delete and reinstall them. So yeah, and I found it buggy in the same way as Paul did there. I found the night and dark mode awful, says Paul, on the screen, and the white text on black dreadful. Also in the daylight mode, after a while, I could feel my left eye straining. That's obviously a me thing and not the phone. Day-night inconsistency. I found that in the night dark mode, when switching between home and some apps, that the phone would jump back into daylight mode and then back again when exiting them. I think that this was an app thing and not a phone thing, to be fair. But it, again, buggy stuff that I found as well. Battery life. I don't know if this is me, Paul says, but when actively using the phone, I don't think the battery life was much different than a normal smartphone, which kind of defeats part of the whole point of using an e-ink phone, I suppose. So e-ink, while e-ink for a phone, I think it could eventually work. I also think the technology is still quite a few generations away from making it a satisfactory experience. For reference, I was interested in the device for using something unique and different and for work purposes, as we all use WhatsApp. This is staggering that at his work, he uses WhatsApp and they process 300 to 400 messages per shift. Good grief. And Google Sheets and Forms. But as I said earlier, it didn't cope well with Sheets other than some bits. Unfortunately, I will continue to use my iPhone instead. But it was really interesting to have had a try with it. And he thanks you very much for lending it to him.
Definitely.
It was definitely buggy. I do agree. And I personally couldn't use it. And all the Chinese stuff on it was just really annoying. So, Jim, back to you.
Well, Paul has sent it back to me, and it's still sitting in the box downstairs in the kitchen. I've not even taken it out of the box yet. So, right. I mean, because when I sent it to you, I said it is very slow at times, isn't it, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I reckon that, Paul, you may well find that the 50 TCL 50 Pro Next Paper, it does a lot better at what you mentioned there, the WhatsApp 300 to 400 messages. Yeah, I'm not sure I could keep up with that myself. And Google Sheets and Forms, it should be okay, because I've used Microsoft 365 on it and Excel, and that was fine. So, you know. But, yeah, you may have a better experience with the TCL stuff than the e-ink stuff. But, yeah. I tend to agree.
I think for me, it was all about every which way you turn, particularly when you're setting it up. It's just Chinese stuff on it. Yeah. And you had to open a BigMe account and give BigMe your, be prepared to sign in with Google via the BigMe kind of net setup on the device. And I never did that. Consequently, I wasn't able to use the Play Store on it. So I probably didn't give it so much of a chance, to be honest. But
I must say, Ted, after hearing that, you couldn't pay me to use that device. It sounds bloody awful.
I think we should, Joe. I think I should send it to you. And you should have a go.
Sounds bloody awful.
Oh, it's dreadful.
Just for science, obviously.
Yeah, an experiment.
I do think that the TCL devices, as you were saying, Jim, are much, much better for someone coming from Android and Play Store. Mm. Much, much better. And if BigMe could produce something that was designed from the outset for a global audience, it would probably be all right too. But there you go.
Yeah, they haven't quite got the e-ink phones right yet, have they? Tablets, yeah. Like I said, the books is pretty good, the Note Air 4C. But yeah, the phones, I don't think they've really cracked it yet.
No. So just quickly to cover the Next Paper 60 Ultra, which I've been looking to do as well. Compared to the 50 Pro, it does have a bigger screen. It's got a bigger 7.2-inch screen instead of 6.8, like we were saying earlier. It's got I'm not sure about the SIM card situation. I meant to test that and forgot about it. So perhaps when you get it, you can have a look at that for me. The screen resolution is about the same. The PPI is about the same. It has got NextPaper version 4 on it instead of version 3. And I did have a whole blurb about what that means. But essentially, it's not that different. It's just that it brings it up to a slightly higher technical level. And they reckon that it general improvements all round. But it's not a huge difference. The Android versions will go up to Android 18 on it instead of 16 on the 50. So they've leapt 2 years on that. They've offered one extra year and also 7 years of security updates, whereas the 50 only got 5 years. It's got a slightly upped chipset, the Dimensity 7400. It's got no micro SD card slot, like I said earlier. It's got a downgraded, technically, main camera, if anyone's going to use it for a camera. The 50's got 108 megapixel f1.8, whereas the 60 has got a 50 megapixel f1.8. So it's slightly not as good, although it does have a 3x optical zoom, which the 50 does not have at all. And yeah, no 3.5 millimeter audio out, which the 50 has got. I think I'm right in saying. And the battery is slightly smaller on the 60 for some reason, with a bigger screen, which might go some way to explaining what's what with that. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see what you find with the
I can't wait to
the phone honest. Come notepad.
Yeah.
And it comes with both the magnetic cases, so I'll send it all to you, and the pen and the whole thing, and we'll see how you get on.
That'd be great, thanks, Ted. I'm looking forward to that.
Cool.
Especially just for the notepad bit. I'm just intrigued by that and wonder if I could use it as a notepad.
Well, it'd be interesting also to see if you can use your active pen on it instead of the tiny little pen they supply. So, yeah, we'll have a look at that next time you're on, no doubt. Okay, cool. the app. Have you got an app for us?
I have indeed. I did rack my brains because I tend to use a very same sort of apps on every device. And I thought, oh, blimey, I'm a bit boring that way by the looks of it. And, you know, apart from me, we the obvious.
Join ones, the club.
Like, you know, I thought, you know, I went for OneNote because that's what I've been using. I know I used to use it at work. I use it at home as well. And I've really been I always used it for notes on phones and everything I posted into MeWe. I wrote in OneNote first so I could tweak it up and then cut and paste it. But I use it mainly because it's cross-platform. That means I can access my notes on any device I happen to have with me, you know. Yeah. And it has been really great on the NextPaper 11, on an iPad, on the Books, Note Air 4C, which runs Android, to give access to, you know, that kind of application via the Google Store. And OneNote is just great for writing on, in my opinion. I mean, I know there are other apps that are better at it, but for me, and the integration and synchronization make it truly one of my most useful apps, I think.
Cool.
Yeah, I think cross-platform is important. I do love apps that do that, so I can see the appeal for sure.
Yeah,
no, it just works for me. Yeah, and when something just works, you tend to stick with it, don't you?
Indeed. And do stick around with us, Jim, as we go through the rest of the show and chip in.
Will do.
Your contribution so far. That's great.
Thanks,
Joe.
For having me.
Okay, Joe, some news. New devices?
Yes. So the Magic 8 Pro, which has just launched globally, is going to get 7 years of OS upgrades.
Whoa!
And security, which is really good, as it should do. It's a £1,000 device. It should have them many years of support. My review is going to be coming out soon. It's very late. I should have made it ready for the Thursday. It's just gone, but oh well, such is life. The Magic 8 Pro, Magic 8 Lite, you've done a little comparison here, haven't you, of the two. Now, there is a big difference in cost, I must say, but with the Magic 8 Lite, you don't get key charging, wireless charging. It's got a dummy USB-C. It's slightly bigger. Not so good chipset, which is an understatement. You get a 6th Gen 4 rather than the 8 Elite Gen 5. But there is a much bigger battery, which is a 7,500 milliamp hour battery, and it's an absolute beast. But there's no promise of updates on that, which is, again, understandable in a sense, because it's a lower-end device. But it's still 400 quid full price, so it should have some kind of promise on there, I think. Just quickly on the Magic 8 Lite, the durability on that thing is just unreal. This is not news now, this is just me going on a tangent. I don't know if people have seen my video. I boiled a kettle and put it in boiling water. When we was at the global event on Thursday, you could see they'd put it into blocks of ice, and they hammered it out very gently, mind. Mm-hmm. But they hammered it out, and you could see it just working fine after being in the ice. it can work at very extreme temperatures. We also had they had a basketball ring, a small ring set up, about 2 meters high, and we was throwing Magic 8 Lites into the basketball ring and letting it drop to a slightly padded floor, but it was bouncing off there and going onto tiles, and I was picking it up and it was absolutely fine. It's a really, really solid device for the price.
Presumably it's got a plastic surround, is it?
Yes, it has. And one thing that's quite interesting about it is 100% zero ingress for dust and resistance. So you won't get anything in there, which I think might be an industry first. I'm not sure. But yeah, they're different devices for different people, really. If you want the all-dancing, singing camera system, obviously the Pro is much far superior. You've got a slightly better PWM dimming on the Pro as well, but that is still pretty impressive on the Lite. It's still present with 3,840. To put this in perspective, the 17 Pro Max is 480 hertz PWM dimming. So it just shows you what Honor are doing, even at the lower level. Screen size, it's only very slightly bigger. The resolution is slightly better on the Pro, but it's not a massive difference. I think they're both brilliant. They both have the nano crystal shield protection on the screen. What's that giant rhino? I've just seen the word giant rhino. That's the Chinese version. Why is it different? I never knew that.
What's that related to?
So the screen protection on it, the international one has nano crystal shield. In China, apparently, has giant rhino glass.
I've never heard of it.
I don't know why there's a difference.
Yes.
Perhaps didn't think giant rhino would land well internationally.
Well, you know, it sounds like it's pretty robust. We've got the word rhino in it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And it survives Moe's level 4. If you watch Jerry Riggs videos, screens to start scratching at level 6 or 7, doesn't it?
So one big difference... Out of the box, the Pro does come with Android 16 and Magic OS 10. Disappointingly, the 8 Lite starts off with 15, Magic OS 9. They did say next month, I believe, it's going to get Android 16, but it's still, why not just launch it with that? It's a bit annoying.
Yeah.
Like I said, the camera's a big difference. The main camera on the Lite's not bad. It's 108 megapixel job, f1.8. And the sensor size is 1/1.67, but that's not a bad sensor size for the main camera there on a lower end phone. But then it has a potato 5 megapixel ultra wide, which is just not very useful, other than in really good light. The Pro version, the telephoto is the all singing and dancing lens on there, and it has a industry first SEPA 5.5 stabilization, And it is really noticeable when you do the further zoom. It's really well stabilized. You can move it around and you can capture things really easily. And what's good about it as well, any camera, any handshake is not going to create any blur. It is really quite impressive for your night shots as well.
Cool.
The main thing I like about the Pro, though, is it's got the 3D time of flight depth sensor, so the iPhone users will appreciate this. So you can unlock the phone in the dark, use it for your banking apps as well, but you also do have the ultrasonic fingerprint scanner as well, which is flawless. So biometrics are fantastic on the Pro. That's another difference between the two. You get a face unlock on the 8 Lite, but it's not the 3D one. What else is there? So that The battery in China, you get 7,100, but in the UK, it's 6,270, which gets me through a day quite easily. I really light use probably a day and a half. But yeah, compared to the light version, 7,500 milliamp hours, crazy. Crazy difference. There is charging differences as well. So global one has 100 wired watt charging, whereas the 8 light 66 watt, which is still sufficient if you ask me. It's interesting, you can do 7.5 watt reverse wired charging, which is quite nice. I think that's the same on both, although GSM Arena has the Pro listed as 5 watt reverse, but I think it's pretty much the same. But you can do reverse wireless charging on the Pro, and you've got 80 watt wireless charging as well. Obviously, you need the correct chargers to do that. But yeah, there's some big differences there, but I would argue the light suits most people's needs, unless they want that extra grunt with the chipset and the cameras.
And the Qi charging.
And the charging, yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
And the 3D face unlock. Oh, yeah, it was starting to mount up now.
Well, I'm not sure if it's £600 worth of difference.
That's the thing. That's what you've got to weigh up.
I always find that the cameras never bother me. Like that's one thing, when you were mentioning the TCL 60 Ultra, I meant to say, the cameras just don't seem to bother me at all.
No.
Well, on my notes later on, I do say the TCL is useless in low light, but it's not what that device is all about, is it? It's really not about that. This is an interesting leak. Actually, before we go on that, you've linked Gary Clark's unboxing video on the light, which is worth checking out, definitely. The Honor Magic 8 Air leaks. Yeah, this one's interesting indeed. I think it could be a good device, but there's a lot of people saying it's a copycat. It looks very pixel-esque, doesn't it, there in the image?
It does look like a pixel.
Yeah, it certainly does. Honor have got no ideas of their own, have they? They're just copying.
Just, yeah, well, you say that. They've got the robot phone, I guess.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's true, yeah.
They've got to have one good idea. Well, is it a good idea? I don't know. We'll find out. But yeah,
I suppose
yeah,
we
do like copying.
I suppose we don't know much about this Air, this 8 Air, do we?
No, I mean, the image I saw was slightly different to this, which is interesting. But yeah, it's meant to be lighter than the iPhone Air, and it should have some better cameras as well. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it does launch in the UK or not. Could be China only again. Although I think everyone seems to be pushing these lighter Air phones, don't they? These thin phones. So maybe it will come out.
Or some firms are backing away from them, like Apple and Samsung, it would seem. So there seems to be mixed messages about this thin thing.
What's going on with it? We never asked for it, so maybe it should go away.
I mean, I can see the idea, but not at the cost of battery life and everything else.
That's the thing. Yeah. This one very much excites me. The Motorola Signature has been announced, isn't it? CES, and actually Moto had a really good bout of devices at CES. There's loads of exciting stuff coming. But yeah, the Signature will cost $899 in UK. It's a proper flagship, Ted.
Yeah. It certainly is, and we haven't seen one of these since the 50 Ultra, and it's even got 1 terabyte of storage in the same way as that had as well, and everything you could possibly want. I'm just hoping that the one Achilles heel with it is not going to be no always on display. But I give up with Motorola, because it still seems that the Razr and the 50 Neo and the ThinkPhone 25 are still the only ones that have a proper always on display. Everything else is just missing, unless you go and buy one in India, it seems.
Always on display. I've just looked at all the phones I've got in front of me. None of them have got it switched on. I know the iPhone doesn't have one. The Samsungs do, and I just don't use it.
Just annoys me. It annoys me so much not to have it. You know, we all have our little picadillos, don't we? And that one is mine, I think. I just won't consider. I really want to use the the Fairphone 5 because I like it so much, but I'm so bugged that it hasn't got it. And to add it in software afterwards just feels like, you know, you can put an app on it, of course. It just feels like it's, you know, not quite right. There you go. Right.
Well, hopefully we get hands on that one. 7 years of OS updates and security as well. Yes, well done, Moto. We don't see that often. Let's see if they do stick to that.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well. And also, I have to point out that the Motorola 50 Edge 50 Ultra, their last flagship, true flagship, when it was released, it was £1,049. And this is, you know, undercut that by basically £150. So good for them on that as well.
And the specs look amazing. It's lighter than the Honor 8 Pro. At 186 grams, that's really nice. Mm-hmm. I like the dimensions of it. Water and dust resistance is there. You've got a 6.8-inch screen, LTPO AMOLED, 165 hertz refresh rate, 6,200 nits peak brightness, so that's a big number there as well. Yeah, there's a lot going for it, Ted, a lot.
Yeah,
I see you can do 120 frames per second, 4K with the main lens as well.
Looking at the picture, the back of it looks exactly like that Motorola Fold I saw somewhere.
Yeah, very similar.
That seems the same camera set up for the Motorola Fold as well.
Yeah, you're right.
But they're starting to have their own sort of look now, aren't they, Moto, which is really good. I think it's what brands need to do. I mentioned it in my 8 Pro video. It's good to have your own look.
It's a bit strange.
So Motorola Fold comes with Ready 4 as well, or Smart Connect now. Then that could be a serious kind of Samsung Galaxy Fold rival, couldn't it? Because I do love Dex on those phones as well.
It's a bit odd.
That could rival with the Smart Connect.
It's a bit odd that they put a 5,200 mAh battery on it. That's the only thing that possibly stands out.
I was literally just about to mention that. Yeah. Silicon carbon,
and even. Even the Edge 60 Pro that I've got here has got 6,000 on it, released in the UK. It is silicon carbon, you're right, but that feels like it's just could be more somehow.
Yeah, it's only 7 millimeters thick, though.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's. I think that is probably the disappointing part for the specs. The rest of the specs seem really beefed up compared to that. The charging looks good, though, 90 watt wired and 50 watt wireless.
Yep.
So that looks good.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, and Motorola devices, in my experience, are very battery efficient. So it's probably something not to worry about.
Ultrasonic under displays fingerprint scanner as well.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really high-end. Really high-end. Bravo. I'm looking forward to trying that.
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully that our motivator people will send us one each.
and we can
have a good look at them. One quick mention for something in the software, which is we both have had a Nothing Phone 3. Well, the Nothing Phone 3 had an update with the December security this week, and it's just so annoying because they've tried to take what Google have done with Pixel phones and put the percentage of the battery inside the battery icon. No option. It's you. The only option you've got is to turn the numbers off. You can't put it outside. And that's it. That's all you've got. Now, I put a photograph, which I cooked up, of the before and after for you both to see there. And I, in actual fact, this photograph makes it look bigger than it is. It's just a nightmare. I cannot see it without glasses on. And I've caused merry hell in the forums, I tell you. And other people have said the same thing as well. I wouldn't be at all surprised if in the next update they give people the option to put that back. But it's just tiny and crap, and it's rubbish. Rubbish nothing. Any thoughts, anyone?
See, Ted, it was the Nothing community. I saw the guys moaning about the new logos at the top there. So I think it's their fault why this has happened. But they should give you the option of having it inside or out, shouldn't they?
Yeah.
Most phones do.
I can't say anything because I can't see my phone without my glasses on.
but you see...
What screen size?
But you see, the Pixel has done it better than that. I'm looking at it now. I've got my Pixel in front of me. And they've put the numbers inside the battery icon, but it's bigger. The whole thing is just bigger. And the and the numbers fill up more of the icon somehow. And it just works brilliantly well. But anyway, I'm not happy with...
Looking at this here, S23, Samsung Galaxy S23, I'd say it's probably even smaller than the 95.3.
Yeah, yeah, Samsung have screwed it as well. On my Samsung phone, I can't see it. It's just hopeless. And you can't do anything about that except to put a launcher on it and then in the launcher. Yeah. With Octopi launcher, you can actually, it's got a toggle in there to turn the status bar off completely, which is, I think, is quite unusual. You can just turn it off and then you can put what you like up the top of the screen, and you can build your own status bar basically. And anyway, that you shouldn't have to use third-party launchers.
No, shouldn't.
Joe, over to you. What do you want to talk about?
I'll touch on the next paper because I have enjoyed it, the one you sent over here. I've not played with it as much as I planned to, I must say, but I must mention I do love the screen. It is something special about it. I know we already said, but it's worth saying again, the soft touch on it, it's just wonderful. It's something totally different. It feels silky, doesn't it? Almost so premium feel to, so it's not just a visual thing. I've already mentioned the glare, so I won't bang on about that. I really do love the transition. You know when you use the little slider on the side, when it moves from Max Ink or ink paper or colour paper? I mean, it's a geeky thing, and it does take longer than it should, but I love that transition.
There's a tip for you, Jim, is when you get the 60 Ultra, you will see that transition is done much better. There's no...
All right.
If you're watching a video or if you're listening to music, there's no break in the audio or the video. It just slides straight in. They have improved that.
That's good, because that is one thing that it does, is tends to override everything when it does it at the moment. And I did look for settings, but you can't turn it off.
No.
I haven't experienced that. I've only done it before I've done anything else. So, And you know, you touched on the colour paper mode. I have a temptation to have that on permanently for a little while, because the change is quite refreshing. It's subjective. Of course, I think it's really appealing. It's got a classy look to me, and the way I'd want a swanky bar to look, like it's like muted colours, but in a really cool way. And it's tempted to colour some of my YouTube videos that way, because it's quite nice to the eye. I think it's like having different presets in Lightroom, but for your phone screen. It's really cool. I tend to put my screens on natural rather than vivid on all phones I have anyway. So I do like more slightly muted colours. I don't know about you guys.
I got to admit, I tend to leave mine on whatever the default was because I'm lazy. But
that'll be vivid then. something I don't like is, but it's not a major problem, is some of the poop that's preloaded on there. Of course, you can it's all uninstallable, so it's not a major issue. But why do they always do that for some of these brands? Give us a load of poop on there we don't want. And it goes without saying, the cameras in low light are pretty unusable. But going back to positives, because it's definitely more positives, the fingerprint scanner is really good, really responsive. I do favour capacitive ones. I'm a big fan. The mode slider has this lovely texture on it, which I really like. It's little details like that make a difference. And I'll tell you what, if it wasn't Ted's phone, I'd probably use it without a case. The plastic build on it's a non-issue for me. It feels pretty sturdy, and I feel more confident than any glass slab phone. And I really do like the marble effect on the back. It looks really glassy to me in the navy blue. I'd almost like take the camera bump away and just make it more svelte, if you like, because the cameras don't need to be on it.
The camera bumps more for show on this one, isn't it? If it's not matching up to the kind of power of other cameras.
It's just is literally show over function, really. But I mean, I guess they've got to stand out in a sea of many devices, haven't they? The speakers seem quite good, actually. I haven't tested them a lot, but I had to give it a good little test, and it seems quite decent to me. But again, like, what's the value of this device, Ted?
Now you can get one for about $280, I think. The thing is that when I bought mine, it was on a special deal, and it was $279, but they threw in a TCL tablet with it as well. I think the official RRP is still $279, but I think you can get it for less than that.
Yeah, I got mine for $120 on the PSC classifieds.
Right, yeah, nice, well done.
Nice. I'd say the speakers are better than that price. Like, phones at that price normally get more distortion than what this does. Mm-hmm. They can get very loud as well. Again, I have to apologise to Jim for not using the Titan 2. Now, one of the reasons...
No apologies necessary, mate.
Yeah. One of the reasons I plan to do an unboxing, and for some reason, in my dumb head, I can't play with it until I've done this unboxing. It's just a stupid way my brain works. Or doesn't work, maybe you could say. I still haven't finished my 8 Pro review, as I've mentioned, which I was planning to drop in on the embargo, which was Thursday, 4 p.m. But on that note, I had a wonderful time at the Honor 8 Series global launch event. It was really great to meet Ian Bundy in person. As I put on MeWe, I'm quite keen to meet more people from the MeWe community. So 2026 is the year I'm going to try and make that happen.
Who was that other bloke in the photo?
Oh, that was my friend Paul Geeky Stuff.
Okay.
The 6'6" guy.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. He's a good creator. I like his stuff. He's really great sense of humour, which he puts in his content quite a lot. Final note from me, I wanted to be a good motivator, so I finally put my main SIM in the Razer 60 Ultra. Mm-hmm. My plan is to put a video together alongside the Moto Watch Fit.
Yay!
Which we'll deep dive into that in another pod, but yeah. One thing I will say is I fully charged it on Tuesday morning. Mm-hmm. It's now Monday, and I'm at what's it, nearly 9 o'clock, and it's at 10%. So yeah,
brilliant.
That's done pretty well. That's nearly 7 days, isn't it?
Yeah, that's cool.
You mentioning the Razr 60 Ultra has made me now want to put my SIM back in the Razr 50 Ultra and put the Clicks keyboard on it again.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Have you got...
Get ready for the communicator.
Has the 60 Ultra yet got Android 16, Joe, or have you not checked?
I've not even checked. I don't think it has, though, because I looked at updates earlier, and I don't think it's moved.
Right.
Okay. I'll check again while we're on pod.
All right. Live checking as we talk.
Yeah.
And... anyway, what I was going to say about it was that since the Razer 50's got Android, sorry, not the Razer 50, since the Edge 60 Pro got Android 16, it's really buggy. So I hope if the Razer 60 Ultra there has got it or is going to get it any minute, it doesn't get buggy like mine has. Have I stalled enough time?
Yeah, no, it's still on Android 15, I'm afraid. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. It's on November.
Is that a beta build? Sorry, Joe. Is that a beta build, Ted, that you've got on the Raz?
No.
The Motorola?
No.
It's a full release.
Yeah, the Edge 60 Pro got it as a, official over-the-air release. And, basically everyone's got it on that particular device, yeah. But it's buggy. Just this morning, I had to take my SIM card out of it again because it had just lost the connection. I don't know how long it had no cellular connection, but it was just gone. If I take it out and put it back in, it sometimes reconnects it. It's just buggy. And that's one weird example. And my SIM card works perfectly well in other phones. So, it's not... Right, yeah, okay, Joe.
Security patches 1st of November as well.
Yeah, that they're a bit behind with some of these devices. I'm actually quite surprised that the Razer 60 Ultra hasn't got it yet, because I thought that would be up on their list, probably more so than, and it's probably behind the 60 Pro, the Edge 60 Pro, because they've got to bake in all the folding stuff to it, as well as the standard stuff. So,
yeah, I suspect so. Okay. Watch this space. I'll keep checking.
Yeah. Are you done with your stuff?
Yeah, I think so. No one wants to hear me rambling too long.
The Moto Watch Fit, though, I'm really looking forward to you reviewing that. And I, like I said to you a couple of times now, I've used the Moto Watch Fit on so many devices. I must have swapped and changed it around 50 times, and I know it inside out, how to do it and what things to press and touch to do it, and how to set it up and swap it over and restore and back up and all that. And I'm absolutely bowled over with how good the Moto Watch Fit is. So I shall certainly be looking forward to your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'll be catching up with you actually on some things on that. So yeah.
Cool. Right, let's go to a PSC photo of the week, which I picked, and this is I'm gonna pronounce this properly or wrong, I no doubt. Epenburg Yule by Ian Chappell, which is in Holland. Epenburg. And he took this photograph of the Samsung Galaxy S22 Ultra. It looks like a canal or a river, in very dark conditions, nighttime almost. Impactful lights going on, lots of reflections, loads of atmosphere, great composition with the water going away to the middle of the frame in just the right position. Really nice. Interesting clean colours in the sky as they deepen from the horizon upwards, and then you've got that bit of moon in the rule of thirds position as well. Really, really nice photo. I like this a lot. Any thoughts, Jim?
Oh, no, it is a great photo, that one, isn't it? Yeah, you are right. Like I said, I'm not much of a camera file or a picture file, but that's a very good photo. Though it's there's no kind of blurring, is there?
No.
You might get with some night shots, you know, but great photo.
Yep, Joe?
Yeah, I really love how deep the blacks are on it as well. Mm. You can't get any deeper blacks than that. It's a beautiful image.
Yeah.
And drawing your eye right to that warm red colour in the distance. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, and the
that's the moon in the sky as well.
And the silhouettes of all the trees, which have got no leaves on them, they're all silhouetted perfectly in the kind of black. Yeah, really nice image.
Almost as if they're dancing.
yeah, very cool. Right, before we go, just time to have a look at classifieds. If you want to join our classifieds group on MeWe, you'll need to email me and talk to me about that, as it's a closed members group only. I have to say, though, at the moment, it's kind of slim pickings. Gary Clark is selling his Pixel Watch 3, the 45mm one, which is the same as mine, for £170. And, to be honest, the 3 is perfectly good. I don't feel the need to buy the 4 and upgrade. The 3 is great, and it just does everything I need it to do. It's got all the Material 3 expressive stuff on it going as well. Really, really nice. And I think that's an absolute bargain for what you get, particularly if you've got a Pixel phone as well. And I just noticed I've nicked yours there, Jim.
I know, that's fine. Like you say, it was a bit slim pickings, wasn't it? As I mentioned, if I didn't already have a Titan 2, I'd have probably gone for that.
Yeah, that just sold today as well.
Oh, did it sell? Oh, I've not been on today.
It's not there.
But
with someone else's money, I'd probably go for one of the Pixel Watch 3s as well.
Yeah.
Mainly because I've never had one. But like I said at the end, then, not that I need another watch.
No.
There is a Garmin Epix Pro 51mm Sapphire Titanium Gen 2 Black. What a mouthful. In there for £255.
It's not Gavin, is it?
No, there's Mojiba.
How much have you got it up for? Sorry, I'm just going off to have a look, guys.
Yes. £255, that one.
Yeah.
That's cheaper than the 47mm one I bought.
Yeah, it looks rather nice, to be fair. But what I've got my eye on, just for nostalgia, really, is there's a Huawei P30 Pro that's gone in there now. For £99, and I mean, I loved my P20 Pro, so I'll take that.
That's incredible that those are still doing the rounds. £99. Yeah.
Looks in good nick as well, doesn't it?
Good pick. Yeah. Mm. So that's not the Garmin watch you've got then, the Epix Pro, Jim?
I have got an Epix Pro Gen 2, but only the 47mm one.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it's the smaller version. I know Gavin Fabiani Le Mans got the 51 inch as well.
Right. We had.
51 millimetre. That'd be a big
it's
watch.
It's sold now. He hasn't anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sold as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, some things are moving. There's also the Samsung Galaxy Watch Ultra that's still there by Stephen Aspinall, and I can't believe that's not been picked up. It's so the watch is so cool. I really like mine. It's the primary reason that I jump back to Samsung now and again, to be honest, because the watch is so cool. But that's being sold for. Well, it's a bit complicated because he's got straps going on as well. £235. But he's throwing in a Galaxy Watch 6 for the price as well.
Oh, wow.
So you can't go wrong. His and hers matching Galaxy Watches. Well, not quite matching, but...
I might put my OnePlus Watch 2 on there because I can see myself playing with this motor watch for a long run, I think, or for a little while at least. So, yeah, watch this space.
Yes, indeed.
If I'd seen Gavin's one, I'd have bought it because I've decided that my one's a black model, but I would have preferred the titanium one. I seem to prefer the more kind of titanium watches. Mm-hmm. If I'd have seen that, I'd have bought it, but too slow.
You have to pay more attention.
Find out who the buyer is, see if they'll buy Mojivas instead, and you can buy.
Jim, thanks very much for joining us again. It's been great to catch up with you, as always, and to get all this QWERTY kind of next paper stuff done and a good chat about Big Me and other stuff going on as well. So thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me. It's been great to catch up with you guys again, as always. Yeah, and I look forward to the next time.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, we'll have to have you on for clicks, I think.
Yeah, yeah. When you get your clicks,
if it turns up.
Yeah, they reckon that's going to be in the summer, don't they? So it's some way off now. Phoneshowchat.uk is our website where you'll find links to all the stuff we've been talking about. If you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that. It's at paypal.me/TedSalmon. And if you want to buy Joe one, it's at paypal.me/Hickey85. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find all the stuff that you might need to know about MeWe groups and audio podcasts. And it's all replicated also at PodHub UK. We'll be back next week, Joe. And our guest next week on our more scheduled show is Mark Mocken. And unlike Jim, he is a photographer, a very good photographer. Yeah. And so we can expect to have some chats with him about what gear he's using next week and to showcase some of his good photographs. So we should look forward to that. But in the meantime, catch us in the MeWe group. Let us know what is going on with you and your mobile phones, and we'll catch up with you soon. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.